Well, it's good to be back in church tonight. I really don't know where else I'd rather be. A lot of places I could be if it wasn't for the grace of God, but there's not any other place I'd rather be tonight. And I'm thankful for that because that's a work that He did in my life. It's nothing that I would have. There's plenty of stuff that I'd like to do, I used to like to do, and there's still things I still like to do, but I like to most of all come to the house of God and be with friends and family, and it's a blessing to be able to do that. If you have your Bible, I'll be in John chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 2, and I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. And it said, in the third day, there was a marriage at Canaan of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And I'm thankful that the people, it seemed like they might have had their priorities straight. You know, you asked for Jesus to come do your marriage. I mean, that's a good thing to do. And I'm thankful for that. And it said in verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. And his mother saith unto him, servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, and the manner of the purifying of the Jews containing 2 or 3 frankincense apiece. And Jesus saying unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when the man hath well drunk, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. And at the beginning, in this beginning of miracles, did Jesus of Cana Galilee manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And I'm thankful tonight that, like I said earlier, it seemed like these people had their priorities straight, who to have at their marriage or who to have in their life. I can remember when, me and my wife were getting ready to be married, and, you're getting a list together about who to invite and who to send the invitations to and things like that. It said here that, Jesus' mother was there, and, both Jesus was called and his disciples. And, so they were asked to attend the marriage. And, so I got to thinking though here, when I was reading this passage of scripture, there's several things that kind of jumped out at me and, about this scripture. And, it just got me thinking a little bit and how wonderful, Christ really is. Of course, this is his first miracle to take place, and he tells his mother, a woman, what have me do? And she tells the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. And I got to thinking a little bit here when they take the water pots, and they say there's 6 of them. And he just tells them to fill the water pots. But what I find here that's kind of funny in the writings is that they filled them to the brim. And I got to thinking a little bit, it doesn't specify, brother, that he told them to fill it to the brim. That's what the servants did. The servants filled it to the brim. And, of course, this is his first miracle. And I got to thinking a little bit about, what enticed them to fill it to the brim. Here's a man that's never performed a miracle before. He has disciples, but there's nothing supernatural at this point. He has not showed anything supernatural outside of his daily living to these people, and that would encourage them to do something over and beyond. But he just tells them to fill the water pots. and they fill it to the very brim. And I got to thinking a little bit. I think there was something special in his life up until this point that caused them to say, "We're going to fill this thing to the very, very top." And they could have filled it halfway full and said, "What's the point? What's he going to do? It's just going to be water." But they filled it to the very top, the very brim, and to the point where no doubt when they carried it, a little bit probably sloshed out a little bit. And I got to thinking about how down here further in the scriptures, when they gave it to the governor of the place, and they poured it and they bared it unto the governor of the feast, and he says, most men, they give the good stuff first. That way, when people start to get drunk, they don't taste that the quality of the wine, the quality of the drink goes down. But you have saved, you have the best, you have held the best until last. And I got to thinking about how wonderful my Lord is tonight, and about how the best is yet to come. I got to reading the scripture, and that's what jumped out at me tonight, that the best is yet to come. We're living in a day, we're just pilgrims passing through, but I'm so thankful tonight that I have a good life here on earth, but I want to tell you that the best is yet to come. There's going to be a day where I cross over that great river Jordan, and I'm going to tell you tonight that it's going to be spectacular, because I'm going to see friends and family there that I never knew I even had. Oh, but the blessings of God are great. And can I tell you tonight that the most precious thing about it is I'm going to see my Lord and my Savior. And can I tell you that we live in a day, and I know we get sidetracked about what the day we live in, and we don't know the hour of whence the Lord's going to come, but I'm looking forward to that day that the best is yet to come, that we get to walk on the streets of gold, and we get to worship my Lord that's there, that died on the cross, as we sang about, and I've talked about already tonight. And I'm thankful that we get to serve him here on this earth. And no doubt, you know, I just get to thinking about that, you know, here it says, "This is the beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifest his glory, and his disciples believed on him." That the Lord used this, that people may believe on him. There was something that took place for his disciples to believe on him. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God that he continues to work. And even today he can still do the same miracles, I believe. It says, "The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when the man hath well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." And I'm thankful that we have it good here tonight. Let's just be honest. We have it good. We have a place to worship. We have roofs over our heads as far as our houses. We have good vehicles to drive. We have good jobs that we can go to work, and we can be testimonies of Christ. And we have things that are good. But there's going to come a day. Oh, great. Old Brother Robert, he would say, "I'm going to a place where a builder and maker is God. And that's where I'm going." And can I tell you tonight that sometimes I get a little down in myself, and I get a little, I'm just going to be honest with you guys tonight, I get a little irritated, and I start to tell myself this really isn't fair. I have just ways about me that are kind of just old fashioned, and I get to looking around and I see some older people, and I get to say, you know, in the world's eyes, they're closer to meeting the Lord than I am. But can I tell you that I do believe that I have a specific purpose. I was born at the specific date I was born on. I was given to the family, a specific family, my mother and my father, for a purpose. And can I tell you that the Lord has designed this whole thing and has set this up. Brother Robert, you were right when you said, I know what you're saying, when the Lord is like the puppet master, but he does, he pulls strings because he's in control of it all. You cannot believe that the Lord is not sovereign tonight. He's in control of everything. There was things in my life that he would do and say, not quite yet, or not just yet, or there would be accidents I was involved in, or the heart surgery that I went through at 18 years old, that he said, you know, he put there and directed my path even before I was saved, and it caused me to go different ways. And I believe that he is sovereign tonight, and it's because he set this thing up because of how great he is and how great my life here on earth is. But can I tell you tonight that the best is yet to come, that we're going home, we're going to see the pearly white gates, we're going home, we're going to see our Lord and Savior one day, but until then, we're just pilgrims passing through. Can I encourage you tonight that it's a good time here on earth? I know we're going through trials that, you know, it seems like we may have never faced before, but I'm going to tell you tonight that the people before us, family and friends and other Christians before us, face things that we have still yet to face and still may never face. And I don't know if we'll ever see to where the Christians will be murdered and slaughtered like they used to, and things like that. I really don't know. I guess it's possible if the Lord wills it. But can I tell you tonight that if he does, it's in his plan and he has control over it. And can I tell you that it's still the best is yet to come. It says they set there forth 6 water pots of stone. And they put to purify it, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And I believe if my research does me right, that they put that in there to kind of purify the water. I believe because the water could have bacteria and things in it. And they put it in there, and it says, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And I believe that he can fill us tonight. He can fill us to the brim and to where it runs over when it sloshes out. And I believe, you know, I think part of, you know, we want to talk about the power has left the church, or, you know, it doesn't seem like sinners are getting saved very much anymore and things. And I believe that's true. But, you know, I often wonder what we're really trying to do about it, if we're really showing them how wonderful this thing really is. Are we really showing them how wonderful my Lord and Savior is, and how much he really cares about us, and how wonderful heaven's going to be one day? And I get to really wondering about how I get to wondering about, you know, if we don't make it something, brother and sister, that it seems like it's going to get their attention. Why would it? You know, when the Lord started to deal with my heart, my wife's grandfather was the pastor at the time, and dear brother Tim, and I got to watching him, and I would talk to that man, and I got to just be able to spend some time with him. And what stood out the most before I got saved was how much he loved the Lord and how much he trusted the Lord, and how he was happy all the time, and he would just wouldn't let anything bother him. And he said, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I'm going to a better place. And there was a peace about him, and he didn't fret and stew. Now, he was ornery and fiery, don't get me wrong, but nothing really bothered him. When you would talk to him, he was happy, and he said, the Lord's in control of it all. And so I get to wondering sometimes about if we're really putting forth that kind of way about us, saying the Lord's in control of this thing, and he knows what to do, and we can trust him, and it doesn't always make sense to us. But can I tell you tonight that it makes sense to him, because he sees it all? And can I tell you tonight that he's in control of it all? And I'm so thankful tonight that we can leave it all with him. And I wonder sometimes how much we do really just leave with him. And Jesus' mother here, she, uh, she told the servants whatever he says do, and she walked away. Best I can tell, she went and did her duties, or went and enjoyed the wedding. I don't know if she was there to help, with the wedding ceremony or something, or if she was just there to enjoy. I would assume she was probably helping, if she had the authority to tell the servants whatever Jesus said do it. But she left. She left it with him. She left it with, the Lord and Savior. She, said, whatever he says, do it. And she walked away. She left it with him. Can I ask you tonight, have you left it with him tonight? Have you left it with him? Whatever trials and tribulations you may be going through tonight, whatever is ailing you physically or mentally or spiritually, have you left it with him tonight? Have you given it to Christ? Have you given it to the Lord and Savior, that he may, take care of it and handle it, just like he did something so simple as turning water into wine, and so something so it seems so minute as why would a Jesus take his waste his time with turning water into wine for just a simple marriage supper, for just a simple marriage celebration? But can I tell you, I believe it's because those people were special to him, just like his mama was special to him, and there was something special, and it was his time to start do that first miracle. At first he said, my time has not yet come, but I believe that no doubt if he really wasn't supposed to turn the water into wine, brother, he would have never have done it. I also believe that the reason that wine was so much better than the first wine to be served was because Jesus made it. And there's nothing that he does that's halfway. There's nothing that he does that's not perfect. It's complete when he does it. And it's all about, it's all about his power. And the first wine that was served there at the beginning of the marriage, no doubt was, man-made and was fermented over time and what, the whole process that takes place. But if water gets poured into six water pots, fills up, and it's better tasting than the first stuff that's supposed to be the best. It's because that I believe it was holy wine. If you just want to, I mean, you can't tell me that the Lord didn't lay his hands, you know, when he turned it, it was holy. They didn't even tell anybody when they done it. Yeah, that's what I think is funny. It says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. Can I tell you tonight that, after I got saved, brother, that, I didn't really, I think it's wonderful and I think we should go around and tell people about it, but I really didn't have to tell the people that were around me on a regular basis. I didn't have to tell them something was different inside of me. I didn't have to tell them that there's a new man living inside of me that's the Holy Ghost. There was something different. They could tell. They could taste a little bit of it, brother. You know, there was something different about what was in this pot as a vessel. There was something a little different. There was a little taste different because I didn't run around and go to the same places I used to. I didn't run around and say the same things I used to say. I didn't go around and look at the same things I used to look at. But there was something different when the Lord comes by and he touches you and he touches the vessel that's inside of you. Can I tell you, there's going to be a change in your life. There's going to be something special. And can I tell you it's him. It's all him. You're not always going to have to, say, I'm a Christian. I wonder why we have to tell some people that I'm a Christian. But don't talk that. Don't say that stuff around me. I'm a Christian. I don't like that. Why do they feel comfortable about saying that stuff around you? You know, that's my question. I wonder sometimes. I know some people, that's just how they are. But I often wonder sometimes the people that have been around you several times and, you know, on a regular basis, yet they still do things and they still say things, you know, and then they want to, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm sorry. I wonder sometimes why they can't see it. I wonder, and I'm guilty of it too. Don't get me wrong. I'm guilty. You know, you get tired and you get frustrated with things and life gets in the way. And don't get me wrong. I'm not making an excuse or anything like that. I understand we still battle with our flesh every day. Every morning I get up, there's still a battle. But I'm talking about the people on a regular basis that we see. That they don't ever see a difference. There's no difference between me and them. I wonder sometimes, it's like what you said, brother, that Lord help us. I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful for Him. I'm thankful at the change He made in my life. I'm thankful at my life as of my life. I'm a vessel for Christ, and I'm thankful that He took just something that was just nothing, just simple water, and He put flavor in it, and He spoke into my life, and He gave me something special, and He gave me something worthwhile, and I serve a living God, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that the best is yet to come. I'm thankful that it doesn't matter what the world throws at us. It doesn't matter how bad it really gets here on earth. The best is yet to come. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for His blessings. I'm thankful for His touch. I'm thankful for being able to come into the church house tonight. I'm thankful being able to just worship. It's all about Him. I'm thankful for that tonight. And I want to say I love Him tonight, and I'm thankful, and I praise His name.